invite you to turn to the book of Exodus again, the book of Exodus and chapter 20. For those who are visiting, we have been going through the Ten Commandments, and we're coming to the fifth commandment today, which fortunately or appropriately we've just spoken to the children about. But we're going to turn to Exodus 20, and we're going to read the first 20 or so verses. The people are at the children of Israel are at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses has been up the mountain and down the mountain and up the mountain on a couple of occasions, and God is giving him the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, or what we sometimes call the Decalogue. Let's hear God's word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or the male servant, or his female servant, or his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Amen, and may God give us good understanding of his inspired word. Now let's turn back to God's word there, to Exodus that we read a moment ago. And as I say, we're going to look at the fifth commandment this morning. Commandment number 5. And I've entitled the sermon, as you see on your intimation sheet, Give Honour to Whom Honour is Due. But before we come to that, let's just retrace our steps a little. I thought that would be good. In thinking of where we have come so far, or some of the key points that we have discovered as we have looked at these Ten Commandments. These are God's commandments. G- given to his people after their exodus or their freedom out of the land of slavery in Egypt. These commands are not just man-made ideas or even God's recommendations. They are God's commandments to be obeyed. And what we've seen so far is that whilst these commandments were given to a specific people, at a specific time, at a specific point in history, and for a specific reason, all the commandments and the principles that lie behind them hold valid today for God's people. Keeping commandments according even to the Lord Jesus is a display of our love for God. The Lord Jesus says, or we have in the New Testament, these words, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But the commandments are not only to be obeyed by Christians, but they actually apply to all people because they come from our Creator God. The Decalogue, these Ten Commandments, are the Creator's instruction manual for us all human beings without exception. And when we discard them, as we spoke to the children a couple of months ago about this, when we discard that user manual, that instruction manual of God, which we have here in God's Word, we are throwing the Maker's design manual in the bin. And I submit to you that that's what, by and large, the world has done with God's commandments and with God's Word. It has discarded it, treated it as archaic, outdated, outmoded, irrelevant. Alistair Begg, in his commentary, says these words, minister in the United States, "God's code of conduct is as relevant today and insistent today as it's always been. The landscape of our society reveals signs that we neither know nor care much about the law of God. Amidst the ensuing moral crisis," he says, "the message of the Ten Commandments can give us order, direction, and hope." Now, the commonly held belief is that there were two tablets of stone given to Moses on the mountain. If you were to turn to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 22, you would read these words, "And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them to me." Deuteronomy 5 verse 22. God wrote and gave to Moses two tables of stone and delivered them to him. Now there's one or two interpretations of whether he gave them two tables, as it were, or if he gave them a copy in the second form. So all the commandments on one and all the commandments on another tablet. Two tablets. Or as most people think, some of the commandments were on table one and some of the commandments were on table two. Doesn't really matter in some senses. There is some argument for both of these. But table one, I'm going to assume, contains commandments 1 to 4 that address or that focus our minds and our duties and our relationship towards God. Commandments 1 to 4. And then table 2 contains commandments 5 to 10 that focus on our relationship with one another in our society, our neighbour. So that the Lord Jesus in the New Testament says that the whole law is summed up in these two commandments: to love the Lord your God and your neighbour as yourself. Now today we're coming to look at commandment number 5, contained in verse 12. Look at verse 12. We've already spoken partly to the children on this. And it says, honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now there's two things that we need to really look at this morning. In summary, there is the command in this verse 12. The command is to honour your father and your mother. And then there is a promise, secondly, isn't there, for obedience to that command. It says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's significant, isn't it, that God starts with the duty of children to parents in the family setting. He encompasses every human being. Because as we were saying to the children, every human being has a parent. Every human being has a mother. And somewhere, a father. And it's no exaggeration, I submit to you, to say that the well-being of a person, or people, or nations, begins in the home. The second command, or the second tablet, as I say, focuses on loving our neighbour. How we relate to all the other people that we interface in our lives. And yet this second tablet starts with this command to honour our mother and our father. A home in which there is a father and a mother. A father and a mother. A heterosexual relationship. We need to say that. Functioning together in fulfilling the responsibility of bringing up a child or children in the way that they should go. Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, which we sometimes call wisdom literature, says these words: train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So being a parent is one of the greatest callings that we are called to by God. It's within that God-prescribed context that beliefs and values are transmitted from one generation to the next generation. Now people may dismiss the heterosexual nuclear family, as we might call it, of a mum and a dad and 2.4 children, whatever 2.4 children are. They might discard that as archaic and outdated. But as Christians, as people who believe in the Word of God, we require to uphold that structure, defend that structure, maintain that structure in our society as the biblical and God-appointed norm. Our society, you don't hardly need me to tell you this, that our society is littered with the debris of broken, discarded marriages following the refusal to obey God's law regarding sexual activity within the marriage bond. And very often the people who are the losers are the children. Children so often are the losers. So God places a very high value on the family structure and the family unit. And that is under attack today in our society. This command is primarily, but not exhaustively, to children within the context of the family. Some people rightly see further authority relationships inherent in this command. But we can't look at that this morning. So I want us to focus on the literal relationship of honouring father and mother in a family context. In the Old Testament, in the community of Israel and of God's people, disrespect for parents was a very, very serious sin. Listen to the words of Moses. He writes just in the next chapter, Exodus 21 and verse 15, if you want to turn there, just to prove that what I'm saying is correct. Exodus 21 and verse 15 says, "Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death." That is very, very serious. Or turn over to Leviticus 20 and verse 9. Moses goes further there and says, "For anyone not only who strikes his father or mother, but anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him." Now, whilst that, we need to say this, whilst that particular death penalty does not apply today, even in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus denounced the religious leaders of his day for claiming to keep this fifth commandment, but actually breaking it by leaving their parents destitute. They didn't honour their parents, and the Lord Jesus was scathing about that. They didn't honour their parents as adults, as we shall see. And you know, when the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, with all the debauchery and with all the worldly society that he was speaking into, in cataloguing the sins of that degenerate society in the first century that had rejected God, he catalogues all the sins in Romans 1 and verse 30, but included within heinous sins, as we might say, horrible sins, he includes the mark of a society that's rejected God, and he puts in there those who are disobedient to parents. Dishonouring parents lies at the very root of a society's problem. The reason that this sin is so serious is because it's a rebellion and dismissing of the authority structure that God has appointed. God created marriage. God created the family. It's part of his design. If we're fortunate enough to be married, and if we're fortunate enough to have children, God has appointed that and gifted us that. The family is his design. And parental authority is divinely delegated by God and is an integral part of our reverence for God. But you know, if you're anything like me, we have a natural dislike, don't we, for authority. We don't like being told what to do. I was about to say a Glasgow term. We don't like being told what to do. But it's within the family context that children are to learn respect for authority. The fifth commandment establishes the fact that our parents are, by God's design, to be revered and honoured, and the honour that we are to give them is to be a reflection of the honour that we ought to give God, our Heavenly Father. No child, no family, no church, no city, or country, or people will ever give honour where honour is due, or respect to whom respect is to be given, unless they are taught respect and honour and obedience within their homes and for their parents. It is so critical to people's behaviour that the family is the place where children are to honour and respect authority. Now, honour is the key word here in this commandment, isn't it? It's the only word that we really, well, I was going to say it's the only word that we really need to define. But people, as I've already said, are defining what a mother and a father is in our society. It's not a female and a male. It might be a male and a male. It might be a female and a female. But honour is the key word here. Honour is the key word in this command. It means to show respect. The Hebrew word means to be heavy. It's the word that the Old Testament writers use for the glory of God. It carries weight for the weightiness of God's divine majesty. And so to honour someone then is to give weight, or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. So to honour our parents, and we'll see that this isn't just for infants or children, it really applies to us all, this command. No matter what age we are, we shall see. So to honour your parents, whatever age you are, is to treat them with a ton of respect. A ton of respect. Yeah, I remember hearing, and I probably fell into this category myself, you know, they say when you're small, maybe like Thomas, you think your parents know everything. They're wonderful, they're superheroes. Dad and mum can do no wrong. They're the greatest. When you're a teenager, you think they know nothing at all. They're outdated, they're outmoded. They know nothing. But when you mature, maybe into your maybe 20s or 30s, you then maybe begin to realise that your parents actually do know something, and that what they taught you, hopefully, was good. But how do we show respect to our parents? What does that look like in our lives? Well, firstly, I would say by showing respect to their persons. You know, you may not have a mum and dad that may be the best in your estimation, but they have a God-appointed position, and we are to give honour where honour is due. God doesn't say, honour your mother and your father if you think they deserve it. Or honour your mother and father if they've earned it. God intends us to honour our parents because they are our parents. Even if their life cannot be copied or mimicked or modelled, they are still to be honoured. So we show honour by showing respect to their persons. But secondly, we show honour to our parents. We honour our mother and our father by listening to what they say. We've already spoken about that to the boys and girls. Listening is honouring. Listen to the writer to the Proverbs again in chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Now, we don't have to accept and believe or follow absolutely everything, but to listen to them is a significant way of honouring them. They have lots of experience in life. They're further down the track than you or I are. And the attitude of despising parental advice, because it is parental advice, is sinful. The attitude of, well, what do they know? They don't live in my lifestyle. But we show honour by listening to what they say. As I've already said, this commandment is not just for 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds. This commandment is not age-bound. It applies to every single person in this room. Even if you don't have a fantastic relationship with your parents, it's still, or even don't know where they are. It's not age-bound. It applies to you if you're a child of 12, if you're 40, if you're 50 or 60 or even 70 and your parents are still alive. Honour is shown in our attitude. It's the way we think of our parents that matters. It's the way that we treat them. It's the way we speak of them. It's the way we speak to them. The way that we care for them, or perhaps don't care for them, that is the issue. You know, the command doesn't say here, although it is implied to a certain extent, the command doesn't say, obey your father and your mother. It doesn't say that. It says, honour your father and your mother. Now, obedience does certainly apply at a certain age. The Bible does say in the New Testament that to children you are to obey your parents in all things, for it is well pleasing to God. Colossians 3 and verse 20. And then also, obey your parents because it is right. So when we're young and when we're children, we are to obey our parents. But there is a time when we all perhaps leave that family structure, leave our mother and our father, and new relationships are formed. We move on to being married, or we move out the house. But this command to honour encompasses us all of us, no matter what age. And in fact, it's a lifelong command. And it's perhaps addressed, it might just be addressed, can I put it to you, that to those who are round about 40 or 50 years of age, whose parents you may still have living, and you may be fortunate to have children. So there may be a situation where the person being addressed here, and the majority of people might have been of this age, in a normal distribution of life, that they had their parents there, they were there themselves as a mother and father, and they had children. So there perhaps maybe were three or four generations that were before Moses as he brought this commandment to them, all alive at once. You know, that's significant, isn't it? Because the way that you as a perhaps 40 or 50 year old show respect to your parents will be highly visible to your children. They will see how you treat your parents. And in the circle of life, isn't it amazing that there was a time at the beginning of your life when your parents, our parents, as we were speaking to the children, fed us, dressed us, and cleaned us. And it might just be at the end of your parents' life that you will have to dress them and feed them and clean them. They did that for us. Is it not our bounden duty to do that for them where we can? It's a mark of honour and respect for our parents if we're able to do that. They sacrificed for us. They got up in the morning. They had sleepless nights. They sacrificed their time, their money, their career for us. Are we not to reciprocate that when they are at the end of their lives? Honour your father and your mother. You know, we spoke about obedience earlier on, didn't we? But the supreme example of this is seen in the life of the Lord Jesus himself, isn't it? At the age of 12, Luke tells us, the Lord Jesus was with his parents, Mary and Joseph, up in Jerusalem at the temple, and somehow they lost him, or he got lost, got separated from his parents. But he was up at the temple, and they went back and they found him. And here he was disputing with the leaders and the teachers of the day. And his parents, as you can imagine, were quite upset. Where have you been? We've been looking for you. For 3 days we've been looking for you. And Luke tells us in these words, and the Lord Jesus went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. He obeyed them. He honoured them. He respected them. He went down with them to Nazareth. That was at the age of 12. But then, do you remember, amazingly, at the end of his life, when he was on the cross, he was looking out for his mother even then, showing her his honour and his respect that she deserved. In one of the sayings from the cross, of the seven sayings from the cross, as Jesus is hanging there on the cross in pain and in agony, when he saw his mother, John tells us in chapter 19 and verse 26 and 27, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to that disciple, John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He watched out for his mother even when he was on the cross. Even when he was dying, he was keeping this fifth commandment. What an example to us all. What an example to us all. But then finally, there is a promise at the end of this commandment, isn't there, that we've perhaps not got time to look at, but let's just do it for a minute. This promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the land, Moses writes. That promise was given to that specific people at that specific time, as we said at the start. It was given to them as a nation, as they would move into the promised land. Their blessing in the promised land was contingent upon their obedience to their parents. But this command was not only given to the nation, but it was given to individuals in the nation, and it's given to us as individuals. Paul personalises this commandment in the New Testament in Ephesians 6 and verses 1 to 3. Now, if you were to look at those verses and to look at the promise, as it were, that's in that verse, it's not an absolute guarantee that if you obey your parents, you'll live to 90. Because there's many people who haven't obeyed their parents and who have lived a long life. And there's people who have obeyed their parents and who have had a short life. But by and large, the promise is a general statement by God. A general promise. What do I mean by that? Well, ordinarily so, it's the case that people who love their parents, who take care of them, who honour them, they are generally happier and more content in the way that they live their lives. People who despise their parents, discard their authority, who disown them outright very quickly out of hand, those same people you'll generally find tend to go to ruin in other aspects of their life very quickly. So what are we saying? What we're saying is how we treat our parents impacts our life. It impacts our children and the respect that they have for their grandparents. It impacts, I submit to you, the life of our nation. It's easy to think ill of our parents. It's easy to think that we know more than our parents. We're in a better position. It's easy to think ill of them. God says, don't. Don't do that. Honour them. Respect them. Those who brought you up and who brought you into this world. They're in a position of authority. No matter what age they are. No matter what age you are. God says, give honour to whom honour is due. God says, honour your father and your mother, and it will go well with you. May we all be enabled to have those relationships, good relationships, respectful relationships. It's not always easy with our parents. They are the ones who brought us in. You might not agree, as I've said, with everything that they do or even believe and say, but we are to honour them. Because they are in a God-given position. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our parents. We thank you for those who brought us up. Especially we give you thanks for those of us who were brought up in Christian homes, who were brought up in the fear and nurture and admonition of you, our Lord. We thank you for parents who brought us up to respect you, to honour you. But Father, we are conscious that there are many, many people who don't have godly parents for a variety of reasons, who perhaps don't or didn't have a stable upbringing. An encouraging upbringing. A positive upbringing. Father, we're conscious that there will always be people, even in a congregation like this, who have had strained relationships or no relationships at all with their parents. But Father, we pray that you might enable us all, whoever we are, to respect our parents, to watch out for them as your own son did on that cross, to treat them with respect and dignity and honour, and where appropriate, obedience. Help us to mend those relationships where they're broken, and as much as lies within each of us, to live at peace with our parents and with all men. Father, forgive us where we have failed in this, and where reparations and reconciliation and restoration can be made. We pray that you'll enable us to do that, so that we might honour our mother and our father. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing, in closing, the hymn on your hymn sheet. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day.